kids that are empty. We're gonna get those eggs filled up with candy. I know it. It's just because Easter is a little bit later this year, so I just feel like everyone feels like they've got some extra time. You're running out, okay? I know you guys are gonna show up. You always show up. You always get the eggs filled. You always get our candy for us. I'm not worried. I'm just reminding you to put it in your cart when you're at the grocery store. Let's get those eggs filled up. She just walked out the door, but I also want to give a shout out to Pastor Avi and Darren. Today is their 1 year anniversary. Yes. One whole year being married, and they're killing it. So happy, tell them happy anniversary when you see them. Pastor Jason and Pastor Paula are on vacation, and man, I just want to take a second to honor them. They lead this church well. You should be agreeing with me. They lead this church well, and they deserve to go on vacation. I'm praying that they are relaxing, that they're getting rejuvenated, that God is speaking vision and just getting them pumped up to come back. Will you pray this week with me for them? If you don't already pray for your lead pastors, add that to your list of things to pray for. They need a team of people behind them that are covering them in prayer. It's hard to be a pastor. It's hard to lead a church. And there's a special kind of attack that comes against our leaders. And so will you just pray with them, or pray for them and with them? And let's just make sure that our pastors are well covered. Sound good? All right. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Pastor Cherie. I am the youth and kids pastor here at Hope City. And we've been in this Battle Ready series. How many of you guys are loving the Battle Ready? We're 3 weeks in. This is week number 3. And this whole sermon series is out of Ephesians chapter 6. And in week 1 of Battle Ready, Pastor Paula talked about how we are indeed in a battle. Right? There's like a little bit of a word play that we want to make sure we understand. And she talked about this, how the war is won, right? When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, he defeated sin and death. And so the war has been won, but we have battles. And Ephesians 6 talks about how we do battle, and it's not against people, but that it's against the enemy, right? And then in last week, Pastor Jason talked about the foundational piece of the armor, the belt of truth. He talked about how it's not the one that's easily seen. It's not the one that is like stands out the most, but it's the foundational piece because all of the other armor fastens to it. And all of the other armor relies on that belt in order to stay together. And when Paul was looking at a Roman soldier and writing about how this connects to our Christian life, he says, that's just like truth. Everything, every battle that we face, everything that might come against us, we rely heavily on truth to be able to combat that. And nothing else that we talk about after truth matters if truth isn't our foundational piece. And so today we're going to be diving into the third piece. It's right in the same verse as the belt of truth. We're going to be talking about the breastplate of righteousness. But first, I just want to read you the whole chunk of scripture that we're diving through. We're going to start in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on, everybody say put on, the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on, everybody say put on, the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can see I highlighted the spot that we're going to be zooming in on today, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. If you're like, Pastor Sherry, why do you keep telling us to say put on? Because that is a verb. That is an action word. And we're going to be talking today about how we actually have to take steps in order to have this breastplate of righteousness on. The Greek word for righteousness right there. And I love the in the Greek language, there's context. Depending on the context that you're talking in, the same word can have multiple meanings. And it's so cool for today. You guys are going to love this. Hang tight. You just wait. The Greek word for righteousness in this verse, when talking about our character, is upright behavior. Righteousness is upright behavior. This verse tells us to put on upright behavior in order to battle the enemy. Listen, we know that Satan knows his Bible, right? In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus and Satan were having this battle. And in order to battle Jesus, Satan was throwing Bible at him. He was saying, you know, the Bible says. And Jesus fought right back with what the Bible says. And all of that to say, Satan knows his Bible. And so wouldn't you know it? He's going to use verses like verse 10 or sermons like week 1 to scare you, to shame you, to keep you captive. We read verses like verse 10 that says, your battle is not against humans, it's against Satan. And he's like, yep, look out, I'm coming for you. Are you ready? Because I'm going to attack you. Can you even handle it if I do attack you? Probably not. You always mess up. You never do anything right. You're going to lose this battle. Watch your back, he says. Before you know it, Satan uses verses like this, sermons like that, to tear you down, and your entire countenance, your attitude, your mindset have changed. Maybe even your posture has changed. How many of you ever feel like you're walking around like this? Right? Like that's how heavy it feels. But here's what you need to know. That breastplate, some translations of the Bible call it the body armor. It's double-sided. It's got a front side. And it's got a backside. So the truth is, you don't have to watch your back. You don't have to watch. Satan can't come at you and say, watch your back. I already have armor that's there. And if you choose to put on that armor, you don't have to watch your back against him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where it gets exciting, you guys. That word justified, right there, same root word as the word righteousness. They're the same word. So justified means that you are already righteous. As soon as you accepted Jesus as the leader of your life, and decided to be in relationship with him, you became upright. You became atoned, which means that the punishment for your mess ups is already taken care of. The price has already been paid. And because of Jesus' perfect righteousness here on earth and his death and resurrection for your sins, righteousness now defines you. That's who you are. Some of you need to write Romans 5, verse 1, in every room of your house, on every mirror that you look in your car, in your Bible, on, put it as the background on your phone. Because Satan has convinced some of us that we need to be scared, worried, anxious about his attacks. But the truth is, you are already defined by his righteousness. There's a front side to that armor too. On a soldier, it protected all of the vital organs. The heart, the lungs, kidneys, bowels. It was all protected by this armor, body armor. And remember, Paul is sitting in prison and he's looking at a soldier. He's looking at the soldier's armor, and as he's looking at it, he's making all of these connections to the Christian life. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the innermost of you. Your mind, your will, your emotions, that's what it's referring to. So Paul is making this connection that protecting your mind and your will and your emotions from the attack of the enemy requires righteousness. It requires right living. And we've all experienced the truth of Paul's realization. We've all experienced how our mistakes cause pain to our mind, to our will, to our emotions. I don't have to give you guys examples of how mistakes cause pain. We're all on the same page here. We can all, you guys can nod at me. I can see you. You can nod at me and be like, yep, I got you, Cherie. I'm with you. Yeah. We all know that our mistakes cause pain. We've all lived through that. But what is right living? Unfortunately, we live in a society, especially this Western society that we live in, it celebrates a self-defined right living. What's right for you is right for you, and what's right for me is right for me, and my upright living is different from your upright living, and that's fantastic. Until your upright living collides with my upright living, and then whose upright living is actually upright living, nobody knows, and who gets to decide? God knew, first of all, God knew that that was going to be a problem. God knew that we were going to face this self-defined righteousness. And wouldn't you know it, he knew so much ahead of time that he lined it all out for us so that we don't even have to wonder who gets to decide. He even created us with this thing called a conscience. Conscience is good. It's from God, and it's supposed to help you to know right from wrong and encourage you in right behavior. That's what conscience is supposed to do. But when we live in a society that tells us to live according to how we feel, then emotions get to drive what's right and wrong. I need to tell you something. Emotions can't be trusted. Emotions acclimate to their surroundings. Emotions say, well, I'm not bothered. Why are you? That's what emotions say. Emotions can't be trusted. We have to determine that we're going to put our emotions aside and listen to what God says. That's the only constant. We talk about what happens when your right collides with my right. Who's right? God's word is right. And what God says is right. And that has to be the center that we keep coming back to. When anything beyond what God says is allowed to drive what's right and wrong in our lives, our conscience becomes stained. It becomes tarnished, or as the Bible calls it, defiled. That's not a fun word. I read that and I was like, ooh, okay, defiled. Paul uses this word, and of course, right? Good old Paul, just to bring us right back down to reality. And he says, he's in this passage, he's discipling Titus. He's writing him a letter, and the letter is all just about, he's walking out life with Titus. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, he's talking to Titus about righteousness. And he says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are unbelieving and corrupted, because their minds and their consciences are corrupted and defiled. Refusing to walk in righteousness defiles and destroys our conscience. It makes it so that we don't even know what right and wrong is anymore. It confuses us. Practicing, or putting, y'all are real quiet. It's okay. It's all right. I knew you guys were going to be all quiet. All right. It's also okay if you just want to just, you know, be with me here. Don't check out. You're good. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Practicing or putting on righteousness is possible. It's possible. And it will protect your mind. It'll protect your will. And it will protect your emotions. So how do we put on righteousness? How do we build our God-given conscience? Because I don't want you guys walking out of here thinking, great, my conscience is defiled, and now I'm never going to know what right and wrong is. It's over. That's not the truth. The truth is that there are very intentional moves that we can each make in our lives to recenter that conscience, to clean up that God-given conscience so that we are able to know right from wrong, and it's based on what God says, and not what people around us are saying. So how do we put on righteousness? How do we build that God-given conscience? How do we turn this ship that is heading for death and destruction, right? Have you ever felt like the path I'm going on is leading nowhere fast? How do we turn that ship around? Guys, we have to recenter. I'm going to give you some really practical steps that I promise you will be the key to putting this breastplate of righteousness that protects you from attack back on. Number one, if we're going to recenter our lives to be able to recognize truth and see truth, we have to repent. And that's a hard one to swallow. I get it. This isn't a message that's all happy and go lucky, except that it is. And we're going to talk toward the end about why it is. Repent of all known sin. Not because God doesn't know. Not because he needs you to tell him what you've done wrong or how you've missed the mark. That's what sin means. Sin just means you missed the mark. God doesn't need you to tell him. But humbly coming to God and saying, God, I did the wrong thing. I did this, and I recognize that doing this instead would have been your best plan. When we do that, we are coming into agreement with his truth. And that's how our conscience gets cleaned up. When we come to him and we say, God, I know that this wasn't the right choice. And I know that what you've called me to do is this, we're realigning, we're recentering that conscience. Because if we refuse to admit that we actually made a wrong choice, then our conscience gets used to that. Our mind gets used to saying, well, then this is right. And we get further and further away from knowing what's wrong. And so what we're doing when we say, God, I messed up. Will you help me? Will you help me? God, I already know that you forgive me. I already know that that's done and taken care of. But will you help me next time to make the right decision? We're recentering. We're realigning. Number two is this. We have to return to the truth. We talked about the belt of truth last week. We talked about how that was the foundational piece. It's no wonder that we're going to have to keep returning to it over and over and over again as we try to figure out this life in relationship with Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start, really I'm going to skip down to verse 14 in just a second, but I wanted to give you guys some overall context of what's going on here. Starting in verse 3, it says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. I don't see any of that in the world today. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of the pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. None of that sounds familiar. I don't know what God was leading toward. Does he even know what he's talking about? Skip down. Thank you for laughing. Skip down to verse 14. But as for you, say it with me, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for, look at this part, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. What 2 Timothy is saying is it's saying that God's word is for training in righteousness. So if I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to say, oh, we need to put on righteousness, we got to return to truth. We got to return to what God says is true. Because it's really easy for me to think I know what truth is, for me to think I know what the right thing is, and I get way far off over here. Real easy to recenter, to come back to what God says is right and what God says is wrong, takes us returning to what he says is true. Number three is this, we have to rely on Holy Spirit. It says to Holy Spirit. It should say on Holy Spirit. Rely on Holy Spirit. The enemy wants you to rely on yourself and your truth. That's why we live in this time that we live, is because the enemy has convinced people that their truth trumps all. And that's why we keep hearing statements like, live your truth. What's true to you? Go after your heart. Don't go after your heart. Your heart can't be trusted. Come back. Come back to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying. Choosing to rely on the Holy Spirit and what he's saying is actively putting on that armor. Remember, we're putting on this armor. Why? Why are we putting it on in the first place? Right. So we don't die. There's a real battle happening. And if we don't put this on, we're going to get hurt. So we talk about, like, and you're thinking, Cherie, this is hard stuff. Yeah, sure is. But guess what? You're not going to die. It's going to protect you. And what's it protecting? Yeah, your emotions, your will, your mind. All of those places that usually get the most messed up. Am I right? Where do we experience the most of our battles and our... It's all up here, right? And it's here. Because my feelings get hurt. Because you offended me. Because something that was said made me think in my mind that you must have meant. That's where all of the battles are here. And so, yeah, it's going to take some work to recenter. Yeah, it's going to take some work to get back, but it's going to protect us. Number four is this. We have to resist temptation. Sharia, I know, they're not getting any easier. I know. Guys, first things first, you have to know what the temptation is for you. You have to know what you struggle with. If you don't know what you struggle with, you're never going to be able to resist it. So, first things first, admit it. I struggle. Thank you. I struggle. Right? And then you have to create some boundaries. You have to construct some boundaries that are going to keep you away from the things that you struggle with. Because I'm not strong enough, turns out. I can't do it on my own. I have to create some kind of boundaries that are going to keep me from going back to that same thing that I keep going back to that's keeping me from moving forward in my relationship with Jesus. If I don't put those boundaries up, I'm never going to move forward. Oh, and by the way, you have to put those boundaries up before the temptation comes. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, when the time comes, we'll figure it out. You won't. You're not going to. If you're like, well, we'll see what happens. I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. I already know. We're not going to see. I'll tell you. You have to predict. You have to say, this isn't just going to go away. You're not going to wake up one morning and be like, oh, look, I don't struggle with that anymore. You have to know that it's going to come knocking. And then you actually have to take time while it's not knocking, right? While you're in centered with Jesus, you have to say, okay, when this happens again, what am I going to do? What's my next step? What boundary am I going to put up? How are we going to set up my life so that I don't even get close? If we think of, you know, we had a sermon series a few months ago that was called Guardrails. And we talked about how those guardrails keep you from going over. Okay, what does it look like to move the guardrails a little bit further away from the edge? So that if you hit the guardrails, which you're probably going to, and you like flip over the guardrail, you don't die. What does it look like to have your guardrail so far back that if you get close to it, you're not actually over the edge? How are you going to build boundaries in your life that help you to resist ever even getting to that point? Number five, respond biblically. This one's pretty short. Actually do the right thing. Don't just know what the right thing is. Actually do it. Right? Because we can, I do it. Like, I am preaching to myself today. I do it where I'm like, I know that what God wants me to do is this. But in the moment, I just, right? Guys, knowing what the right thing is does you no good if you don't follow it up with responding. And I think that's why Paul was so wise when he wrote in his letter, put on. Because he says, it's not about knowing that it's there. Right? God's like, oh, hey, and I gave you this body armor. It goes over all of your important organs, all your vital organs, and it protects your back as well. Here it is. Go ahead and look at it. That doesn't keep me safe while it's down there on the ground. It has some real potential. Right? I know, God. I know that that will keep me from getting hurt. But Paul says that's not all it is. You got to put it on. You have to respond. You have to take action steps toward the thing that's going to keep you safe. And that's work. The last thing is this. You need to recruit accountability. You're not going to do it by yourself. God didn't create us to live by ourselves. That's why community is at the center of everything that we do here at Hope City, because we recognize that God created us at the very depths of who we are. We were created to be in community with other people. That's why when I'm sitting in the line at Dutch Bros and there's a Subaru in front of me, they have a bumper sticker that says like Subaru Club member. Like, people at the very depths of who they are were created for community. And the ones who have not recognized that that community exists within relationship with Jesus are out in Subaru clubs. They are out there joining chess teams, and they're out there. There's a club for everything. Why? Because people recognize that there is a void that's inside of them. A void that longs to be in community with other people. And they just haven't figured out yet that it should surround around relationship with Jesus. Recruit accountability. Because if you try to do it on your own, you're gonna fail. You're gonna mess up. Find somebody who you can trust. Who you can say, hey, listen. Here's something that Jesus is asking of me, and I'm struggling with it. Will you help me? Accountable. Guess what? After you do that, you can't get mad at them if they actually do it. If they actually come to you and be like, hey, how's it going with that thing? You can't be like, why do you always ask me that? It's fine, okay? You don't get the right to do that. You ask them to. And on the other side of that, if nobody asks you to hold them accountable, don't. Mind your business. Nobody needs you telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing. They can rely on the Holy Spirit too. And maybe they found somebody else to hold them accountable, and it's not you. Recruit accountability in your life, because it's going to be that guardrail, that boundary that's way far from the edge. It's going to keep you aligned to what God has called you to. Guys, righteousness defines you. Let it protect you. And what I mean is this. It's already got your back. Right? You're already righteous because Jesus died on a cross. He became the perfect sacrifice for every sin, every mistake, every mess up that you could ever possibly come against. He's already defeated that. It's done. The war has been won. And he's given you everything you could possibly need to protect you against the battle. But here's the thing, we got to put it on. We have to make a choice that it doesn't just look nice, doesn't just sound nice, but it actually has a job. And you know, the funny thing about that armor, if you read up on ancient Roman armor, the breastplate was actually like really beautiful. It was the piece of the armor that stood out the most. And here's the reason is oftentimes, especially if you had more money, your breastplate was made of pieces of brass that were all linked together. And what would happen is when that armor got put on and the Roman soldiers started walking around, those pieces would rub up against each other. And what happens if you rub things like hard metals together? Does anyone know what happens to them? They sharpen each other in appearance. They rub up against each other and they get shinier. Their luster starts to improve. And all of a sudden, it would be just this whole body armor that just sparkled with beauty. And the Roman soldiers would put that on and they would raise their shoulders and the sun would hit that body armor and what would it do? It bounced off and it shone light everywhere that they walked. And they could walk with their shoulders back and their head held high because they knew what they were wearing. They knew what they had on. And with that on, they knew that they were going to win. Satan wants you to think that his attacks are something you should be scared of. That he's coming after you. That you couldn't possibly win. But God says, here's this tool that I give you. And if you put it on, your shoulders are going to raise and your head is going to be high. Why? Because you will not fail. If you recenter your life to the righteousness that I've called you to, you're not going to fail. You're going to be okay. There might be some of you that are clear back at the beginning of the message where I said, righteousness already defines you. And then I went on to say, I said, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and you have determined to walk in relationship with him, then that righteousness already belongs to you. And you might be like, hold up right there, because I never did that. That's the very first step. The very first step is that centering on Jesus. I trust that right and wrong is defined by you. And today I want to step into the right and the wrong that you've called me to. Today I want to step into saying that you get to lead my life and that all I am is yours. Is there anybody in here today that wants to say, I'm ready to take that first step? That's what I want to do today. The second thing is this. I know that there's a bunch of us in here that are saying, yeah, there's some things that I need to recenter. There's some areas in my life where I've veered off from God's truth, from righteousness. And today I recognize that it's time for me to recenter. I'm gonna have you all close your eyes for just a second. And the reason I'm having you close your eyes is not because it's a magic formula or because that's where the magic happens. It's just because I want to give you a moment with Jesus. A moment for him to whisper to you what it is in your life that might be need some recentering. And here's the nice thing about him is that he never does it in a way that is harsh or condemning or shameful. But he just always does it in such a loving way that says, I just want to be close to you. And this is an area where we could recenter so that you and I can be closer. By a raise of hands, and this is just responding to Jesus and what he's saying to you. Is there anybody in here that's saying, yeah, there's some things that I need to recenter? Yeah, all over, nearly everyone. Jesus, you don't just see hands in this room that are a physical representation of what you're already doing in the heart, but you see the heart too. And Jesus, today we come into alignment. We choose to align with you. And we admit and we repent of the times that we've gone off of what your word says. And today, Jesus, we're choosing to return to truth. We're choosing to rely on your Holy Spirit to guide us and to protect us. Today, we're choosing to construct boundaries that are going to help us resist all temptation. And we're choosing to put up guardrails, accountability in our life that's going to help us to stay centered on what you have for us. God, I thank you that it's with nothing but love that you have a heart that just wants to be close to us. And it's because of that heart that we even want to put on this armor in the first place. Thank you, Lord, for giving us armor, for giving us tools that's going to keep us from getting hurt, that's going to protect our minds, that's going to protect our will, that's going to protect our emotions. Thank you for giving us everything that we need to battle any and every attack or battle that comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Can't wait.